Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into another edition of the Beer Garden, presented by the Oxford Crystal. I am Neil McCready. I listened to the people. The people spoke. Me, being a man of the people, listened to the people and acquiesced. We, at this moment, do not have a title sponsor for the Soft Verbal Podcast. It's a tremendous opportunity. Several of you have inquired about it. I have sent you information. It is first come, first serve. It is a great opportunity. I have offered a couple of sweeteners to get someone to join in as the title sponsor for the Soft Verbal Podcast. Until then, that podcast is somewhat on hold. The Beer Garden is not. So what I've done today is sort of combined the two. No, won't do this every week, but we'll do it this week because there's a lot going on in Ole Miss recruiting. So we will talk some recruiting with Russell Johnson of Rivals.com. rebelgrove.com. Russell, believe it or not, has interest outside of recruiting as well. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. They're down to the National League Championship Series between the team that broke my heart, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the team that broke his heart, the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll talk a little bit about that series. We'll both cheer for the umpires. And then we'll talk about what should be a phenomenal series in the American League between the defending world champion Houston Astros and the best team in baseball, Boston Red Sox. We'll talk about that series, and we'll talk some NBA because the NBA gets started on Tuesday night, and my boy Russell and myself love us some NBA. If you don't want to listen to us talk about the NBA, you don't have to. If anyone makes you do it, send an email to chase.parham@gmail.com. Give him your location. He will send the authorities there, and we will make sure that the person who is holding you at gunpoint is held accountable for his actions. Is that fair? That's fair.
That is fair.
Chase.parham@gmail.com. That's the place to send that email. You can follow him at Rivals Chase. You can send him a message. I don't think his DMs are open, but you can send him a message going, help, 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 #NBA. And he'll get help to you. Let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. Russell might be able to tell us a little bit about the Oxford Crystal as well. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's right next to the Oxford Exxon. So as I tell you all the time, what you should do if you're coming into town next week for the big contest with the Auburn Tigers is you can fill up at the Oxford Exxon, and then you can fill up at the Oxford Crystal. It's right there, convenient. You could even park your car at one place and walk to the other. Probably would park your car at the Oxford Exxon because it would be easier to fill up your car mobily than it would be to like lug the gas back and forth to the Oxford Crystal. But hey, whatever floats your boat. That's what's important. Oxford Crystal right now, the 3-egg plate combo features Cold Peak coffee and fresh cracked eggs. It's a great way to start your day. They've got the square meals, depending on how hungry you are, the $2 square meal, $3 square meal, $4 square meal. As you probably can guess, the higher up you go, the more food you get. So it depends on how hungry you are. And if you're super hungry, you can get the 12 crystal combo, 12 crystals, 2 medium fries, 2 medium drinks. And don't forget, if you purchase a large drink, you are entered for a chance to win concert tickets. It's the Sprite concert giveaway presented by Crystal. All of that going on at the Oxford Crystal. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. You know the routine. You no haggle, no hassle. You get your quote, and you can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Great service. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. Find out what that means by getting in touch with Corey. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden, you'll save $500 off the already great line, Clark. Great bottom line, Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. We're also sponsored by Community Mortgage. Community Mortgage is located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. It's J-Lowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Russell, how's it going?
It's going good. I haven't been in the Clark Ford studio in a little while.
I know. You haven't been on the Beer Garden in months.
Yeah, it has been. And I think last time we either were talking about baseball or it might have been right before the NBA playoffs started. There's a lot going on. October is a really underrated month when it comes to sports, because you've got the postseason in baseball. You've got college football in full swing. College basketball's kind of getting started, but not really. And then the NBA, which is getting started in less than a week.
Yeah, and it cooled off today.
Yeah.
As we record this on Thursday, it's actually pleasant outside for the first time in 6 months, and it feels good.
It does. I hope it lasts till I get to the football game I'm going to tonight. So,
where are you going tonight?
Jones County in Northeast.
Okay. Are you going to Horn Lake in Oxford Friday?
No.
You're not?
You are, right?
I will go for the first half. I'll stay till halftime. I'll watch the Chargerettes dance, and then I get to leave.
And that'll be when the Chargers make the comeback and beat the Eagles of Horn Lake, right?
Well, Horn Lake will, if they're smart, build an insurmountable first half lead, because there will be a momentum shift at the half that will be distinct, tangible, palpable, noticeable, and intimidating, because the Chargerettes take the field and it is absolute domination. Yeah. Week after week after week after week after week.
You'll be flooded by local media and stuff. Will definitely be in attendance trying to scout the game.
They bring the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They bring that spirit.
They will.
Yeah, they do.
That's about as far as they'll travel.
Yeah. The other local media?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chargerettes, they travel on the road, don't they?
Chargerettes travel.
Yeah. That should be an interesting game, I think, maybe for a quarter. I think Horn Lake just pulls away. I'm not going to get too far into analysis of watching Ra'Darius Jones at practice yesterday, but he actually looks like a quarterback now, which he didn't. Going into the end of last year when he was kind of injured with the rolled ankle, and he actually looks like a quarterback. His mechanics, he's exclusively played quarterback this season, and with that, some schools are going to watch that film and, you know, possibly flirt with the idea, especially if it helps them land him, of talking about him about being a quarterback.
So on Wednesday, you went to Olive Branch and Horn Lake.
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
I went to Olive Branch and Horn Lake.
Okay, let's get Horn Lake out of the way, because I want to get to the big stuff at Olive Branch, because this is a show, that the part of this that we're going to dedicate to recruiting. I want to talk more basketball than football.
Yes, and I think that's what people want to hear as well right now.
So Horn Lake has a linebacker named Dean, who I'm sure will draw a decent amount of local interest, probably fawning on him. There probably will need to be like some security to keep certain people away. I believe that you believe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'm going to put them in your mouth, and if they're wrong, tell me they're wrong.
Okay.
You believe that N'Kobe Dean's decision is coming down to Alabama and Georgia, not necessarily in that order.
Correct. Correct? Yes. I think that Florida State's early season struggles and really a lack of an ability to build an identity both offensively and defensively have really hurt them when it comes to the non-local recruiting. The Seminoles have been able to build a pretty impressive class when it comes to, you know, getting the kids from Florida. But with the Gators not really focusing on in-state kids, it seems like the Seminoles are going to have to finish that way, because the out-of-state kids aren't as impressed, at least with the early results of the Willie Taggart era.
Georgia would like to get N'Kobe Dean wrapped up here pretty soon. They seem like Georgia's getting a little antsy about recruiting. As it pertains to linebackers, they've had some probably forced attrition, some encouraged attrition. They'd like to get Dean quickly. Obviously, if he commits quickly, then you know it worked and they got him. If he doesn't commit to Georgia here in the next few weeks, is that a sign that maybe it's more open than we thought it was?
No, he doesn't actually plan on announcing a decision early at all. I saw that on the message board last night that, you know, kind of if he doesn't commit on his Georgia visit, that, you know, something's up. But it doesn't really seem that way. I talked to him yesterday, and like I've always said, you know, Dean does the best when you talk to him and you don't have a recorder in his mouth. When you do that, you know, he feels at ease, he's comfortable, and he says what's on his mind, doesn't just say what, you know, he thinks people want to hear, like so many other recruits do, especially in the state of Mississippi. With Dean, he wants to wait until the early signing day to make a decision. There's not that there will be, of course, you know, the possibility of all of the predictions, all the future casts being one way, which right now I believe they're almost all to Georgia. But what it's going to be is he wants to wait. His family wants him to wait until that day to announce a decision. Now, will Georgia push for a commitment and possibly, you know, try to sway him and hotbox him possibly when he's in Athens? You bet, especially with the atmosphere that they're hoping to have when Auburn comes to town and that rivalry.
Well, there's also a chance that they're going to push for a private commitment.
Yeah, but private commitments mean nothing. I mean,
as a coaching staff, you know when a kid looks at you and says, "Coach, don't come in. I just don't want to do this publicly right now because of pressure, blah, 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 blah."
Right.
You know what's going on as opposed to a kid saying, "Hey, what do I ever have to say to get out of here right now?"
Yeah, and that would be fascinating if he did make a silent commitment to the University of Georgia after that visit, because he's still got trips to – he literally goes to Auburn the week after he watches Georgia play Auburn. He goes on his official visit there. They're in the mix a little bit, but I think they're kind of far and away below the top three. And then the wild card in all of this, who at one point I thought was Florida State, it seems to be Texas A&M now. Texas A&M's going to get a visit likely before the end of this month. And whether or not that's just a free trip and a respect to Bradley Dale Pivito and the staff that Austin Thomas and them have built over there, it's still up for debate. But Dean going to College Station for a second time in 6 months, anything can happen when you get to College Station.
It's kind of like anything can happen in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You were at Olive Branch. Let's talk basketball.
Okay.
They have a player there by the name of DJ Jeffries. He's probably the highest rated player in Mississippi. I think he is.
He is the highest rated player in Mississippi.
He's a 4-star, was formerly a Kentucky commitment. For the longest time, people thought he was headed to Memphis. I certainly thought he was headed to Memphis. For quite some time, people have thought he was headed to Mississippi State. There has been a sea change. There's been a shift in momentum, et cetera. Nothing has happened publicly as of this recording.
Right.
But yesterday, you and then subsequently I both projected him to Ole Miss. Now, there is a difference between projecting him to Ole Miss and reporting that it is done. I am not reporting that it is done.
Right, and I am not either.
I do think as of right now, that's the way that he's leaning. And I think he's leaning so much there that that's where I think he's headed.
Yes.
You were at Olive Branch. You actually talked to people on the ground in Olive Branch. What was the general consensus?
A lot of them were really vocal about Jeffries talking to them about, you know, possibly going to Ole Miss. But really more, the conversation was about why he's not going to Memphis than it was about him ending up at Ole Miss. The Jeffries situation with Memphis, I mean, obviously he was coached by Penny. I'm literally looking at the picture on his Rivals profile, and he has Team Penny on his shirt from the team he played for before they switched to, what is it, Bluff City Legends?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and James Wiseman, Chandler Lawson, several high-rated players were on that team with him. But what happens is Jeffries went to Memphis Madness last week. It's been highly publicized. You've talked about it. I've talked about it. They were chanting James Wiseman's name. They even, contrary to what the NCAA would have liked them to do, put him on the big board and got extra attention by doing that. And Wiseman was the focal point of that entire event. It seemed like that entire event had been not scripted, but, you know, kind of put together in an effort to woo him because he's got Kansas and the other blue bloods in the area going after him hard. And Jeffries really was turned off by that. And the more you would talk to people, it would depend on who you asked. Some people thought he was going to end up at Ole Miss. Some people had no idea. Some people said to never count out Memphis. But the main point was that he was just so turned off by that event. And everybody thought it was going to be this big thing in terms of recruiting, that they were going to get Wiseman and that they were going to get the – is it Precious? I think he's a 5-star or high 4-star.
I don't know.
From out of state, who officially visited that weekend as well. And with that, Memphis feels they have momentum with those two, but Jeffries will be a big loss when they don't get him either way, no matter how the Memphis media tries to spin it. That's another thing I've learned and seen in the past couple weeks is how much the Memphis media loves their Tigers. And it's not just the radios, it's not just the newspapers. It literally seems like a combined effort.
It's across the board. It's different deal. It's unique.
It's like they can get away with it because it's an AAC school. They feel like, you know, hey, we can be fans and cover the team because it's such a small school and no one really notices.
So I know Memphis Madness, where the fans chanted, "We want Wiseman, we want Wiseman, we want Wiseman." I know that worked against Memphis for DJ Jeffries.
Yeah.
What has happened to take the Mississippi State momentum away? And where does that stand, in your opinion?
That stands it's to where they're in second place right now, at least in my opinion, with Ole Miss being on top. And the Adidas investigation that is still taking place today, it's still taking place today, I believe. And with that,
we're recording this on a Thursday morning, and just this morning, TJ Gasnola, the bagman for Adidas, is the witness that's on the stand. I think by the time you hear this, his testimony will likely have concluded. But as we record this, he's been on the stand talking about NC State, Louisville, and others.
And I believe in one of those others, Mississippi State is either going to come up or has come up in the past. And that's kind of shied them away from doing certain things that they had planned on doing in the past. Whether or not they change their stance when they get that phone call and he says he's ready to commit elsewhere, especially if it's to the program where they dislike the most, I guess you could say, other than Kentucky. When it comes to SEC basketball, it seems like nobody in the SEC likes Kentucky. But that's what's going to happen. Lamar Peters situation that with the what was it $30,000 a year?
It was $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that scares some people away. And whether or not that ends up being the deciding factor or if they find a way to get around it, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, so today, we're going to hear this on Friday. Thursday, Bryce Williams, the JUCO shooting guard, committed to Ole Miss. I think this is a big deal. It's overlooked, understandably, by Lawson and Column.
Yeah, he would be the headliner in like let's go 2 years back to with Andy Kennedy. If he was the head coach, that would be one of the headliners of the class.
Sure.
And that's not saying anything against Andy Kennedy. That's just the state of the Ole Miss basketball program at that time.
So they got him. He's a big time player. He is going to come in and add some real wing shooting to this team in a year. Oklahoma State, others were in on him. They're bringing in Sammy Hunter from the Bahamas next week.
Yes.
He'll be visiting the weekend of the Auburn football game. I believe Ole Miss is in great shape there. Do you agree?
Yes.
And from talking to people who are familiar with Hunter, he's potentially the impact player in this class. Maybe even Jeffries included. He's that good, potentially. Huge wingspan, can step out, make shots, is about 6'9". I think you're going to see, it's my opinion, Kermit Davis not be as interested in the 7-foot rim, traditional rim protector. He wants long guys who can move, who can step out, make shots, run offense, be athletic. I'm not picking on Dominic Olenichuk here, but I don't think Kermit Davis would have recruited Dom.
No, I don't believe that would have happened either. I think you're right on, especially, you know, with the changing game of basketball, it seems like that big who can step back and hit the 15-footer, the 20-footer, the Al Horfords of the world. If Horford would have came along maybe 5 years later, I mean, he would have made an even bigger impact in the game of college basketball than he did at the University of Florida. Now, whether or not they're able to get Sammy to commit when he's on campus, that's something that they're working towards. And then they also had Kai Tandy. I don't know how to pronounce his actual name. The four-star guard from Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Kiki or Kai. I think it's Kiki.
We'll go with Kiki because everybody likes the Drake jokes.
He visited. They like him. I'm going to be careful here because I don't want to hurt a source. There are some issues that aren't insurmountable, but that are there, that they have some decisions to make. I think if you told me that Ole Miss was going to get Collum, Jeffries, Lawson, Williams, and Hunter, I think they'll add one more player. I think they'll add a guard. I think they'll add a point guard. I think Tandy is a very real possibility, or I think it's conceivable that they would wait until after the season, wait for the grad transfer market to develop, and take a grad transfer point guard. Because if you look ahead a year, say this about Ole Miss basketball. Season starts November the 10th. I've seen people do this, and this is going to be used against me, as, oh, see, McCready hates Ole Miss. Here, it's, so prepare yourself. You'll hear this probably because people – this is not an NCAA tournament team, the one that's about to take the court. This is not an NCAA tournament team.
No.
It's just not. It's probably – not an NIT team. It's probably not going to be a team that finishes any higher than 11th or 12th in the SEC. It is probably a team that will play on the first night of the SEC tournament. If you are expecting instant results, you are probably going to be very disappointed.
Agreed.
It is, however, going to be an interesting team to watch. For two reasons. One, you're going to get to see a completely different style. You're going to get to watch a coach install a program, which is always interesting to me. Two, they're going to play some freshmen. And two of the freshmen in particular, KJ Buffin and Blake Henson, are guys that this staff believes are impact players. Maybe not right away, but by the time it matters. And it starts mattering in the 1920 class year, season. Because you're going to bring in all these guys who they're really high on. But it also, at that point, you're going to have a group that you'll have Devontae Shuler, who will be a junior. You'll have probably have Brian Tyree, who will be a junior. You'll have a handful of sophomores and a bunch of freshmen. It stands to reason that you would want to bring in a veteran point guard to kind of give your team some maturity. So I think they'll have to make a decision on Tandy. If they want him, I think they can still get him. If they decide to go in a different direction, I wouldn't be surprised if they kicked the can down the road and waited for the grad transfer market.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And Tandy's other option is Xavier, and he will be there this weekend. And I think if you see him pull the trigger on a commitment this weekend, then your question was answered. And they're either going to kick the can down the road or that they might get back on Tyrell Jones, who is in on with Georgia, Auburn, Ole Miss. And he told me the other day he still might take a couple other visits. He wasn't really sure yet. But the last thing you want to do is – especially in the early signing period, is panic take a point guard.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to panic take somebody who doesn't have any committable offers just because you want a point guard and you want to get it over with, because you don't want them to see the product on the court before they make a decision.
Yeah. Look, and you're telling these kids honestly. I mean, they're not – this is a really good coaching staff.
Yeah,
agreed. Ronnie Hamilton, Levi Watkins, these guys are really good. They're telling these kids, hey, look, we're not going to be We're not going to the Final Four this year.
Right, yeah.
Watch the games, not for what we're doing, but for what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's a lot easier to do in basketball than it is football.
It's the advantage of a fresh start. And this is not about Matt Luke. This is not about hiring Matt Luke. This is not. But this is when people talk about when you make a change, there's an advantage to making a clean change. You bring in a new staff, whole new system, the whole deal, and it's not about last year anymore.
No, it's not about last year at all. And you can, like you were talking about, when they talk to the recruits, you know, they're going to mention to look and see how much the culture is changing in Ole Miss basketball and just how quickly. I mean, you're going to see a lot more physicality defensively. You're going to see a zone defense. You're going to see them competing harder in games to where they might not have in the past.
Yeah, it's offensively, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see a system that is designed to create shots as opposed to Andy's system, which was designed to get the ball to players who would then create a shot. Neither system's wrong. I'm not criticizing.
Right.
But it's different.
Yeah.
Kermit's system is more system-oriented.
The way people are perceiving it, too.
If you're an Ole Miss basketball fan, today is a day that you can be as excited, as optimistic as you probably should have been in a long time.
Right.
Now, it's not done. As someone close to it said to me yesterday, you got to get to the finish line.
Right.
And they're not there yet. They're not at the finish line. But if it's a marathon, they're pretty far along.
Yeah,
they've got a good pace going.
The line is in sight. You can see that yellow marker where you're trying to be the first to come across at the end of the marathon.
That's a beautiful thing, by the way.
I
have. And when you get toward the end, for me, it was always about 24 miles. I got to 24, and I would think to myself, I remember thinking to myself, how many 2.5 mile runs have you done? Like, you've done hundreds of 2.5 mile runs. You have just a 2.5 mile run. And then from that point forward, you were just kind of off in your own little world. You got it done. Anyway, so it's an exciting time. Here's what's also interesting for Ole Miss for basketball. The names are out there. It's Brakefield and
Sean Robinson.
Yes, thank you, Sean Robinson. I always want to say Sean Johnson. Sean Robinson and Jamin Brakefield are both, frankly, higher recruited players than any of the people we just talked about.
Yes.
And Ole Miss has a real shot. Now, that finish line's even further away than the finish line we just talked about.
Right. You're not even really beginning the marathon for that one yet. You're kind of just in the process.
Yeah, you're training.
Yeah. And getting Brakefield on campus at the same time all those other kids were on campus for their officials in the 19 class was big.
Yeah. Landing these kids will make it easier to land one or both of those kids. And if you get the kids we just talked about and add those two kids, your program has been rebuilt.
Yeah.
You are officially a contender.
Right. And in basketball, it's a lot easier to rebuild a program like that. You can just get one big name. Like, if they were only to get Jeffries and not Lawson or one or the other, they would still have that ability to look into the 2020 class and have those targets and them still be really interested in the program.
The SEC is really good. It's getting better. They're all recruiting at a high level. Now, this FBI thing might change the game, but as of today, the FBI, the SEC is full of really good programs. Yeah, Freudian slip. The SEC is full of really good programs, and to win, you better have players. A lot of players and a lot of good players.
My question is the schools that recently changed brands, like Tennessee. Tennessee went from Adidas to Nike. Now, were they still using the Adidas Bagman, or did they switch to a Nike one pretty quickly? That's something that kind of interests me, especially because they just got 5-star point guard Josiah James. And like you said, the entire conference is recruiting at a higher level than I think many ever expected when the basketball recruiting became is almost as big as football recruiting has.
Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Kentucky, obviously.
Vanderbilt,
very high level.
Yeah, I mean, taking Crowley out of West Point, that took some guts. Took something.
Bryce Drew and Scott Drew have the same parents.
And their last name must be Green.
They're not scared.
No, no, not at all. They don't seem to be have any fear whatsoever.
No. This podcast is also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. It's a full-service advertising agency, works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing is done solely by their staff, crafted uniquely for their clients. And lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call, give them an email, see how great they are. Send them an email at Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, at strategicpartnersmedia.com. This podcast is also brought to you by LB's Meat Markets. I went to LB's last week. It was Carson's birthday. We asked Carson, what do you want for your birthday dinner? Carson being the young, red-blooded American male future capitalist that he is, said steak. I said, okay, what kind do you want? He said, I want one of those fillets with the bacon around it. Attaboy. So I went to LB's, and I got some fillets for everybody except me. I got the bone-in... not Kobe, but it's the Japanese version, I guess, of Kobe. Or the American version, I should say, of Kobe. It was fantastic. God, it was great. Everything at LB's is great. We got some sausages as appetizers. Got the chicken sausage that I like. Got the ribeye sausage that Carson and Laura like. Got some of the buffalo sausage, the buffalo chicken sausage. We got some of the pork sausage. It was fantastic. You need to go to LB's, too. It's 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Whether it's beef, pork, chicken, seafood from the Gulf, whatever you want, get in touch with Greg Jones. Let him know. He'll get it all ready for you. Or just go in and browse. And when you go in, whether you go in with a pre-made order or you go in and pick out what you want right then, look at the beer fridge over at the left, grab a six-pack. If you tell Greg that you heard about the LB's, if you heard about LB's on the Beer Garden, you'll save $3 on that. Instead of it being a $9 six-pack like it normally is, it'll be a $6 six-pack just by saying, hey, I heard about LB's on the Beer Garden. That does us a favor, too, because it shows people that our advertising works. And the more advertising we have, the more podcasts we do. The more podcasts we do, the more you get to listen to us talk. It's capitalism. It's great. It's America. It's what makes us special. So LB's, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. You want to talk NBA or MLB?
Oh, let's get the MLB over with.
All right. So let's talk about the National League Championship Series, the Brewers and the Dodgers. They're going to play each other.
Who are you picking?
I'm hoping that Angel Hernandez umpires all seven games.
He may with that lawsuit pending he filed.
Yeah. I got Dodgers in six.
Okay. I think
the Dodgers are the better team.
Yeah, I think.
I think Milwaukee's this hot team that hasn't lost in like two freaking months. But I think the losses probably come. I think the Dodgers score on that starting staff. Even though they were awfully good against the Rockies. But I think the Dodgers are just too good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Obviously, I saw firsthand what the Dodgers have. Their bench, literally, their three best players on their bench had more home runs than the best three players in the Braves lineup. And that was really telling when, you know, you saw the series play out the way it did. Watching Walker Buehler pitch, Clayton Kershaw, and just seeing the emergence of Buehler. I mean, he's really stepped up. He pitched really well. Control becomes an issue with him as things go on. And if the Brewers are patient with the other pitchers, other than Kershaw, you know, that they're going to have a chance to get on base. And I think that's what kind of hurt the Braves was you had Acuña swinging at the first pitch. So he's 20 years old. He doesn't know any better. You had Albie swinging at the first pitch. And then the real problem was what I think distinguished the series and kind of lost them the series was Markakis. Markakis would come up in several different times, and there'd be runners on base. And the pitcher would be either have just walked Freeman or, you know, was struggling with his control. And here comes Markakis swinging at the first pitch. And if the Brewers are able to stay disciplined and you know, get on base, they've got a chance. Now, with the Dodgers, when you have Yasmani Grandal batting eighth in the lineup, you know that's a really damn good lineup.
Yeah, I'll say this about the Braves real quick. If you're a Braves fan, and I know you are, I'm not, but if I'm a Braves fan, I'm excited.
Yeah.
The fact that they lost to the Dodgers in four games did nothing to dampen my excitement. I know that you want to win and you have an opportunity and you never know how many chances you get to get back. I get all that. I get all that. It's cool. You overachieved. No, you didn't. You didn't overachieve. You hit the acceleration button. You're a year ahead.
Yeah.
Now you go into the first season that I thought you should be a contender with a successful division race under your belt.
Yeah.
And you've played a postseason series. It next year when they play in the postseason, and they will, this will not be Fulte's first playoff taste. It won't be Acuña's first playoff taste. It won't be Albie's first playoff taste.
Right.
Camargo, those guys. They will have had those.
Don't get me started on Camargo.
Yeah, but they needed to get that experience. You played against the Dodgers team. They've been there, man.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have been there. They've been to the last this is like three NLCSs in a row for them.
Right.
They went in 16 and lost to the Cubs. They went in 17 and beat the Cubs and came within a game of winning the World Series. I mean, this is a team that's played a lot of postseason baseball, and you saw that experience difference in the playoffs.
You did.
You did. The Dodgers were able to calm their heartbeats at times when the Braves couldn't. Those first two games in Los Angeles where the Braves looked completely out of their element, the Dodgers just whipped them.
Yeah.
And then the Braves came and had that big win in Game 3 that was an exciting win for their franchise. And then the Braves had opportunities in Game 4, and the Dodgers were like, hey, it's cool. We're good. And that's experience. You can only get that experience by getting experience.
Right, exactly. And with the end of the Braves season comes a pretty pivotal offseason for the franchise. The ownership and the GM are really going to have to decide how much money they want to spend because they've got plenty of money to spend. And you've got names like Bryce Harper. I know you expect him to go to Chicago, and I do too, but I was against him. I was completely against him going to Atlanta.
Him going to Atlanta.
I don't like Bryce Harper very much, but
And you shouldn't.
If he were to sign with Atlanta, I mean, I would have to put that aside because having that kind of bat in the lineup, a game-changing bat, would be big. But really, the number one thing they need to work on, I know we're not going to talk too much more about the Braves, but they need to get a catcher. They need to get a catcher who can throw out base runners.
Well, I can tell you what they're doing.
Whose name is JT Realmuto. Yeah,
exactly.
You put the package together, and then
that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that instantly makes your pitching staff better.
Yeah.
Number one, because he knows how to call games, and number two, because they don't always have to worry about the runner on first, which became a real problem in the postseason.
You know, I joke about Harper a lot, and it's not all a joke. I mean, I think the Cubs are definitely a major player for Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Harper likes the idea of playing in Chicago. I don't think that. I know it. I've said this about Harper all along. It's the truth. If it turns out that the last 2 years have been nothing but a troll job, I love troll jobs so much that I'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
I don't think, however, that it's a troll job. When you name your dog Wrigley, you have to call the dog Wrigley. Some of the stuff he's done has been funny, but some of the stuff he's done has maybe been a hint.
Yeah.
He and Chris Bryant are tight. Their wives are tight. Under Armour wants to make Chris Bryant a superstar. To do that, you've got to put him in a major market. There are only three that really make sense.
Yeah.
It's New York, Boston, Chicago, in Major League Baseball.
Right, yeah.
And so the Yankees Ben Ingram of the Braves Radio Network believes that Bryce Harper's going to the Yankees. I don't. Nothing against Ben. He's a better source than I am, probably. But I think the Yankees just got through playing a series against Boston where it's obvious that the Yankees have to go get pitching.
Yeah.
If you're the Yankees, I think the name that's on the market that makes so much sense for you is Patrick Corbin.
Yeah.
Of the Diamondbacks.
Someone's going to throw him a lot of money.
Yeah. And they should. So, you know, he's out there. There's some other pitchers that are out there. If you're New York, that's probably the route you go. Home run hitting was okay. So we had a little technological issue, but we've worked our way through it. It's all fine. All right. So we talked about the Braves. We talked about the Cubs. Let's give our picks real quick on the two series. NLCS. I like Dodgers in six.
Yeah, I think Dodgers win in seven.
Okay. And then on the American League side, what should be a fantastic series? It should be just absolutely so entertaining. Two great clubs. Houston, so good. Boston, maybe even better. Houston won a World Series. Boston won 108 games. Both teams can really pitch it. Both teams can hit. Both teams play great defense. My issue with Boston is simply David Price. A little bit of a weak link in a postseason series. I don't think Houston has weak links in its rotation. For that reason, I like Houston in seven. I won't be surprised if Boston wins. I like Houston in seven, and I think it's going to be a fantastic series.
Yeah, I agree. And kind of as we were talking about before was, you know, Houston and Boston has the it factor in terms of TV ratings. It has a chance to be one of the higher rated baseball postseason series in quite some time. And if they're able to market either one of those franchises and their cornerstones, such as George Springer, Mookie Betts, or anything like that, you know, they could see some growth. I'm with you with the Astros winning. I think it happens in six. And I think in that sixth game, it's going to come down to whether or not the Astros bullpen can hold strong. And if they can't, then they'll close it out in six. If not, then there's that critical game seven where anything can happen.
All right, we're going to switch to the NBA in just a minute. First, let's tell you that this podcast has been brought to you by Lentz & Little. Lentz & Little, PA, is Central and South Mississippi's law firm. You want to hire for business advice, commercial litigation, whether you're having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Lentz & Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Lentz & Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures. Representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties, Lentz & Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Lentz & Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com or email Jarrett at lentzlittle.com. You've cut out the lattes. You've put in those Curly Q light bulbs. You've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday. Keeps getting here a day or two late and a few $100 short. We'll try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi, a call at 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, NBA gets started on Tuesday. I'll start with this. I'll offer you the Field or the Warriors.
Warriors.
Yeah, me too.
Sadly.
It is kind of depressing.
It is, but there's so much exciting going on around the NBA besides just that, that there's still plenty of reasons to watch, and especially to keep up with it.
Give me the two teams you're most interested in watching, not counting the Warriors.
Not counting the Warriors. I want to see how the Spurs do with DeMar DeRozan replacing Kawhi Leonard. DeRozan was very complimentary of being around that culture and seeing how he and Pop mesh, and whether or not the Spurs can continue to, you know, continue the playoff run they've been on in the past several years. And with that, I mean, they're dealing with injuries already before the season even starts. Murray tore his ACL, so that's really tough for them. Seeing how that goes about and just what happens with the Grizzlies as well. Whether or not, because some people think that they're going to make the playoffs, and some other people think they're still going to be in the lottery. What do you think?
About which? About the Spurs? The
Grizzlies.
Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies have a real chance to make the playoffs as a 7 or an 8. To me, there's 6 teams in the West that are in the playoffs.
Who's that?
This is assuming health.
Yeah.
Golden State. And this is not in any particular order, although I'll try to put it in the order that I think they're going to get in.
Okay.
Golden State, Houston, Utah, Oklahoma City, the Lakers, and Denver.
Okay.
I love Denver.
I love Denver, too.
Can't wait to watch Denver. Make fun of me all you want, people that are out there. I love this team. Jokic is terrific. Trey Lyles is coming along. Millsaps. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. This is a good team. Will Barton. It's a fun team.
Yeah, and they've kept that core together for several years.
And who knows what, if anything, they get out of guys like Michael Porter. They're just interesting. Really interesting team. I think they're the 6th seed. Then I think you get into teams like Portland, New Orleans, Memphis, kind of fighting for those last 2 spots. And if you told me Memphis – got healthy seasons out of Gasol and
Conley.
Yeah, good Lord. And that Jarrett Jackson Jr. gives them another element, I'd buy it.
Yeah, there are several possibilities and predictions where you see the Grizzlies in the playoffs. It's just a matter of health, and it seems to be coaching too.
Yeah, I think so. I just think it comes down, their team comes down to very simple. Can those 2 big guys stay healthy?
Yeah, agreed.
If they do, then they're really good. If they don't, then they're really not. So the season starts on Tuesday night, doubleheader. Sixers and Celtics at 7. It's a great game in Boston.
It is.
And then Thunder and Warriors at 9:30. I don't think Westbrook will play. Roberson won't play. I don't know how good of a game that will be. That game probably will not live up to its billing, although who knows.
You're going to get to see Dennis Schroeder shoot at least 20 times.
Dennis Schroeder has had a fantastic preseason.
I've heard.
He has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you know who else has been terrific for them? And the Thunder have always drafted really well. Their second-round pick, Hamidou Diallo,
yeah,
from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Has looked like, and this is preseason, so preseason, you got to be careful.
Right.
But has been a preseason star.
Yeah, he looked really good when they played Atlanta.
Then on Wednesday, the games that get started, everybody gets going. Milwaukee's at Charlotte. Brooklyn's at Detroit. Memphis is in Indiana. The Heat in Orlando. The Hawks in New York. Cleveland and Toronto. The Pels and the Rockets. That's a TV game. Timberwolves at the Spurs. Jazz at the Kings, Nuggets at Clippers, Mavericks at Suns, and then on Thursday, the next doubleheader, Chicago's at Philly, the Lakers at Portland. I'm so excited, man. You just don't know, for me, the level of happiness that kicks back in with the NBA, because I start looking for late-night games.
Yeah.
And I get one. They just deliver. They just deliver for me every – look at this. Every day next week, if I can't sleep, I get – on Tuesday, I get – let's see. I get Warriors Thunder. On Wednesday – where did my schedule go? Oh, I went too far. On Wednesday, I get Nuggets Clippers, which I can make myself watch.
I love the Clippers' new point guard. I think he's going to be really, really good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. Thursday, I get Lakers-Blazers. So I get LeBron and Dame Lillard in.
On the same court? Yeah, I mean.
Friday, I get Warriors at Jazz in. I get the Thunder. If I get bored, I can go flip over to watch my guys play the Clippers. And then Saturday night I'll be on the road. But if I get back in my car in time, I can listen to Rockets Lakers for like 30 minutes before it goes away. And Sunday night I get Warriors Nuggets, Kings Thunder. God, I love the NBA. It's night after night.
Do you see Butler playing in that game? The first game of the season for the Timberwolves?
We're taping this on Thursday. They canceled practice today because they didn't want media availability. It's a total freak out.
My question is how were they getting such – literally, they were having quotes from what Butler was saying at the practice. Was there media at the practice yesterday?
No. Butler's agent arranged every bit of that yesterday. It was brilliant.
That is hilarious because literally Butler thinks that he is the focal point of that team, and to be honest, he's not.
No, but it's interesting, and I don't know that they can get value for him, and without him, they can't compete for one of those last two spots.
Right. And then if he goes to the East, he could completely shift the playoff race because there's so many teams in the East that could at least compete.
Okay, so assuming health, what teams do you see? What teams in the East do you think are legitimate contenders to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? Obviously Boston.
Yeah.
Obviously Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Toronto if Kawhi is healthy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and then I like Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana's up there. And then I would also go with Milwaukee.
You know, I watched them the other day against the Thunder. Westbrook did not play for the Thunder. Giannis did not play for the Bucks. But you can already see what Mike Budenholzer is doing in Milwaukee. Such a good coach.
He is.
And you can already see the development of guys like Malcolm Brogdon just in preseason, the way that they're kind of playing, moving the basketball. It's ironic. It's a shame, really, that they fought for so long for Jabari Parker to get healthy.
Yeah.
He gets healthy, finally get a coach in there who could use him, and he goes to Chicago.
Right, and now they have him starting at the three, which is not where he fits in this generation of the NBA whatsoever.
Yeah. The Bulls are abysmal.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But I like those 4.5 teams. I don't think Milwaukee's ready to make it to the finals. Those other four teams are capable. Now that LeBron's out, and then that's the next question. What does LeBron do in L.A. year one? How good are the Lakers? Are the Lakers good enough to make the Western Conference Finals?
Are the Lakers good enough to make the Conference Finals?
Yes.
Assuming they make no trades during the season?
Yeah, let's just assume for the sake of this conversation that there are no major trades and everyone on every team stays healthy, which is not going to happen, but you can't start guessing.
Injuries. Right, yeah, you don't want to predict that. You don't want to project that.
But you can't guess. No one could have ever guessed last season, well, hey, Gordon Hayward's going to break his leg 6 minutes into the season.
Right. Yeah, and that completely shifted Boston's season. I don't think they're going to make it to the conference finals. They'll be in the semis. They'll be in the playoffs, obviously, but I think they're still a year away. And I think a lot of the hype around Lonzo Ball is really going to slow down once they see LeBron getting him open and being able to have the open shots that he wasn't able to get last year but failing to make them.
Is this Kevin Durant's last season in Golden State?
That's your conversation. I think he is. But
yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's a Knick next year.
A Knick? Really?
A Knick. A New York Knickerbocker.
Who joins him there?
I don't know. I don't know that he wants anyone to join him.
That's true, because he got his rings, basically. That was his mantra and his whole reason for going to Golden State, the team that had just beat him in the – never mind. We won't go down that road. But, yeah, I could see that happening. But it's going to be interesting to see if the Warriors – if they fall apart, I guess you could say, because Klay's a free agent at the end of the year too, isn't he?
Yes. Is it end of this year or one more?
I don't know.
I think Klay is going to stay. I think Klay's made it clear that he plans to stay.
Yeah.
Draymond plans to stay. Steph plans to stay. It's Durant that says, I don't know.
And then Boogie's going to get paid next offseason if he's able to show he's healthy.
Right. And so Boogie might step into Durant's role.
Right.
Get the big money.
Yeah,
they might need that. They might need Boogie in the finals against a team like Boston.
Yeah.
Against a team like the Sixers if it's Joel Embiid down there.
Yeah, I mean, like the East is so wide open in the West, it just seems like nobody's going to be able to beat Golden State in a 7-game series.
All right, let's get your quick predictions. I'm going to do this in 10 weekend thoughts. I reserve the right to change mine between now and Sunday. Your pick for NBA champ is the Warriors.
Yes.
Warriors over.
Ooh. Boston.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you this. I think
five games.
I was going to say, I think the series goes 6 or 7.
Really?
I do.
Kyrie would average 40 points in that series.
NBA MVP is?
LeBron James.
That's a good call.
People are going to see on almost every night because LA is going to be on. You thought you had Lakers exhaustion when they were bad and they were on TV. Now they have LeBron, and they're going to be on TV probably more nights than not.
I'll say Anthony Davis.
I could, if they make the playoffs, yeah, I could see that.
Anthony Davis with a Russell Westbrook sort of season where he has huge numbers and the Pels get the 6th seed and he puts up numbers that are undeniable.
Yeah, you could see that for sure.
All right, NBA Coach of the Year.
Ooh, Budenholzer.
Ooh.
I think Budenholzer gets the Bucks to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Interesting.
I miss Bud.
Yeah, he's good.
Who's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
Well, first off, Coach of the Year, I think it's either going to be Quinn Snyder or Luke Walton.
You know, Quinn Snyder used to work for the Hawks too.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I thought about Donovan Mitchell for MVP, by the way.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year, I think it's probably DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic.
Oh, gosh. Don't. No, it can't be Doncic.
Yeah, I know you'll have a nervous breakdown. Could be Trae Young. He's going to get a lot of usage.
Oh, yeah, I know. He played really well yesterday. I mean, he's looked okay in the preseason. He's a volume shooter, which kind of scares me. But going into the Rookie of the Year discussion, I think it could possibly be Bagley because Bagley's going to have such a large role for the Kings. And then you've also got Kevin Knox in New York, and I think that they may fight for a playoff spot.
Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to surprise you here.
Anthony Davis.
Kevin Durant.
What?
I think Kevin Durant focuses on the defensive end of the floor to prove to everybody that he's emerged as this. I think he's started campaigning for it. I think he gets it. Kevin Durant's Defensive Player of the Year.
That would blow my mind.
Protecting the rim with the Warriors.
That would blow my mind.
Sixth Man of the Year.
Ooh, that's a good question. Who do you think?
Dennis Schroeder, Oklahoma City.
Man, he's got high hopes over there in Oklahoma City. I mean,
it's a great fit.
Did he get his legal issues taken care of?
They're pretty much, yeah, come on.
I guess I would have to go with Dennis if it's not. I mean, usually you can go with Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford in that role.
And Lou Williams would make sense, although I think he'll probably start for the Clippers.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem there.
Schroeder's already running pick and roll beautifully with Steven Adams. He fits with Paul George so well. And I think he and Russell Westbrook, because of his respect and admiration for Westbrook, I actually think he'll defer and do whatever Westbrook wants to do, whether that's run the point or run around as the two. And Schroeder's a decent shooter.
He is. He's something that he's gotten a lot better at as his career has progressed. Kind of progressed.
Well, Russell, it was fun, my man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping in.
Good to be back.
We'll be back sometime soon, hopefully. If you're interested in sponsoring the Soft Verbal Podcast, get in touch with me. It's neilmccready@gmail.com. We'll try to make something work. Until next week, thanks for listening to The Beer Garden, brought to you by the Oxford Crystal. Take care.